Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Patrick Brennan of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for you. As usual, we start with the good. And Patrick, Jim and I for days were talking about the, let's just say, rough rollout of Hillary Clinton's book tour. Her book did not get great reviews, even from folks who generally tend to drift to the left in their political analysis, like Mark Halperin over at MSNBC and John Heilman, who's been a co-author of Halperin's many times. Joe Klein was on Morning Joe talking with Mika Brzezinski and, of course, Joe Scarborough and probably a bunch of other folks, too. Mika was saying, you know, how much has Hillary been hurt by this discussion of her wealth and her not really admitting that she's wealthy? And has her response to the controversy been a good thing? And here's what Joe Klein said.
No. It's interesting that the second quote where she said that they pay full income taxes was obviously a reference to Mitt Romney, who was paying at 14% rate.
Yeah.
And no one's really brought that up. She was referring to the amount that she and her husband pay compared to Mitt Romney.
Right.
But the fact that this is what we're talking about and not the substance of her book, which I've actually read, is a disaster for them.
A lot of folks say her book is pretty much dry as dust and doesn't really get into too much detail about stuff. And Patrick, the effort to compare the Clinton's tax rate with Mitt Romney, who was probably paying capital gains or dividend taxes at 14%, is a nice little distraction here. But the fact that liberals are admitting that Hillary's rollout has been anything but the way it was hoped to be for the left, pretty encouraging.
Yeah, it's been good. I don't think it shouldn't take too much courage to admit that a politician's book was overly long and boring. But but they've been more honest on the other point, which is that she's not gotten a warm reception from the American people, it seems. And this the wealth comment, the taxes comment was an attempt to follow up on the original, you know, how we left the White House dead broke comment. And that's probably between her and Bill, they've probably talked about this now five or six times. And this is just like a rolling disaster. I don't know if it's an unforced error or not, but it's an obvious example, it seems, of how Hillary is just not all that politically astute herself.
What do you make of Hillary's political style? Bill is obviously a very natural politician, but Hillary's been around the game for decades and decades, and she just doesn't seem to have the common touch at all. Does that suggest you either have it or you don't, or is she just a really bad student when it comes to retail politics?
I think both, maybe, that she doesn't have it and she's a poor student. I mean, because it was, you know, it was obvious someone like Mitt didn't have it, but he also didn't really have people surrounding him who were going to sort of tutor him in the finer ways of politics. He had Stu Stevens and like former Bain Capital executives, whereas, you know, Hillary is married to an American political genius and still doesn't seem to have absorbed too much charm by osmosis, even, like you said, in decades in politics.
All right, on to the bad martini now. And Patrick, we all remember President Obama's infamous red line with Syria. If they use chemical weapons, well, you can better believe we're going to go in there and act militarily. The UN and others believe that they used them last year. President Obama tried to get military action. Congress was going to have none of it until John Kerry said, well, you know, if they were to hand over their entire chemical weapon stockpile, then we wouldn't do military action. Vladimir Putin ran with that, got the Syrians to agree to it, at least to some extent. It looks like they've turned over everything except the chlorine gas. And because, of course, that could be used to, you know, treat their swimming pools. That wouldn't ever be used as a weapon of mass destruction. Anyway, given everything that's going on in neighboring Iraq, this is the headline from Reuters today. President Barack Obama, under pressure from some lawmakers to provide more help to Syria's opposition, asked the U.S. Congress on Thursday to approve $500 million to train and equip moderate Syrian rebels seeking to oust President Bashar al-Assad. It was the administration's most tangible move yet to help beleaguered Assad opponents who have been frustrated at a lack of U.S. assistance after Obama stepped back from launching airstrikes on Syria nearly a year ago. And Patrick, it was, what, last week where we saw all these ISIS folks basically commandeering all the military equipment we left for our friends in Iraq. Given the instability of the Free Syrian Army and some of these other folks we thought were in position to actually win this civil war, this doesn't necessarily strike a lot of people as a great idea.
Yeah, I would include myself in the category of people it doesn't strike as a good idea. But it's also such a minor thing. I mean, the fact that it can be described as the most significant thing he's done, you know, sort of since X point, but it probably is the most significant step he's taken or tried to take, you know, has asked for authorization to take since the war started more than 3 years ago. It's basically a continuation of the kind of talk loudly and carry a soft stick sort of thing, which is what he's done, where, you know, you get yourself basically involved in this, but you don't do enough to affect an outcome that you'd like. And it's just no one could possibly claim with a straight face that this is going to get us to an outcome or even move us to toward an outcome that it would be preferable for us.
Either way, do you expect any appetite for this in Congress, since he is asking for congressional approval here?
Right. It's sort of interesting. I wonder if he if that's just sort of an excuse, because it's, I mean, $500 million. You got to imagine you can find that lying around the Pentagon somewhere. You know, it's sort of interesting that he is asking for congressional authority. It's hard to imagine that anyone's going to bite. I remember last fall, I was actually in the Capitol, like in D.C. around the debate when we were talking about whether they were going to vote on striking Syria. And it was true that the phones were ringing off the hook with people calling up to say, we really don't want to go to war. People just hate it. So congressmen do have to listen to their constituents.
And many people have said over the past several months, it's so hard to figure out who the quote-unquote good guys are in the rebellion over there and who the bad guys are, because one of the bad guys over there is the same bad guys we're trying to make sure don't conquer all of Iraq. So the issues get very complicated. Patrick, on to the crazy martini now, and I guess we could simply say this has been a banner week for the crazy martini. We got a pair of Marion Barry crazy martinis. Then we had allegations of race baiting in the Mississippi runoff. Then yesterday, of course, we had Kim Jong-un declaring that if a Hollywood movie is released, he'll consider it an act of war. But the EPA perhaps has trumped all of them. This is from Noah Rothman over at hotair.com. Employees with the Environmental Protection Agency were recently warned to keep their bathroom habits, well, in the bathroom. According to communications obtained by Government Executive, I guess that's a publication, employees of a Denver, Colorado office of the EPA were admonished for what the publication described as inappropriate bathroom behavior. In the email obtained by Government Executive, Deputy Regional Administrator Howard Cantor mentioned several incidents in the building, including clogging the toilets with paper towels and an individual, this is in quotes now, placing feces in the hallway outside the restroom, unquote. Apparently, this EPA office needed to consult with a workplace violence expert on the matter in order to ascertain that leaving human feces in office hallways was very dangerous. EPA would not comment on what they call ongoing personnel matters. A couple different ways to look at this. First of all, if anybody else did this, I'm sure the EPA, and rightly so, would be dropping the hammer on them. But Patrick, I'll leave it to you. What do you make of this?
Well, I'm excited. This has got to be the first crazy martini that we've gotten from Government Executive Magazine. But you can't make this stuff up. Federal agencies are basically are parodies of themselves. I mean, this could be straight out of Jim Garrity's new book, basically, that they just going on in the hallways, and then they bring in a workplace violence expert. You know, I mean, it's just, and you know, and that the EPA has to bring in an expert to determine whether something is a health and safety risk. I mean, it's just, there's a lot to love here. You know, it's a shame we're paying for it.
Well, that's certainly the case. I guess you got to go with workplace violence, because it's not like there's a lot of bathroom etiquette full-time experts, although I'm sure the government will ask for that now.
I think it's fairly clear that we need a standing committee on bathroom etiquette.
Of all the stories I expected to do this week, this was not on the list. I can promise you that. But, Patrick, it's been great having you with us a bunch of times this week. Thanks for pinch hitting for Jim, and we'll talk to you soon. Patrick Brennan of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim Garrity will be back on Monday. Join us then for the next 3 Martini Lunch.